We continue the recent theme of podcast listeners becoming podcast guests as I'm joined by Arcelia Wicker on the podcast today. He's a financial planner at Bay Capital Advisors in the Virginia Beach area. We chat about his personal experiences of his own finances and how going through Financial Peace University helped him and his wife get their own financial house in order before going on to help host and teach that program for many years. When he realized how much he loved that work and he would do that kind of work for free, it ultimately sparked an exploration of how to break into the world of financial advice and become the financial planner that he had always wanted in his own life but never really found. Thanks to getting out of his comfort zone and networking through things like his local FPA and NAPFA chapters, Arcelia built a support network that helped him find his own path. We talk about his educational experience through the American College CFP-CHFC program, how Hannah Moore's externship gave practical and real-life examples of planning with clients, and how he balanced study time with active duty, family responsibilities, and prepping with the career transition. I love his transparency across the lessons learned, including how he ultimately passed the CFP exam, how he overcame a rescinded job offer, and his reframing of these various setbacks. One of the things that struck me the most was how having his own financial house in order, including being prepared to make their family lifestyle work post-military without a second income, gave him the financial as well as mental capacity to wait for the right position. I know you can also find inspiration from his lessons learned and career advice. He also wants to extend an offer to connect if you are interested in learning more about his story or getting some perspective on your own career transition. You can connect with him on LinkedIn by checking the show notes for his profile. Without further ado, here's my interview with Arcelia Wicker. This podcast is sponsored by the Military Financial Advisors Association. MFAA is a nonprofit professional association of fee-only, fiduciary, and independent financial advisors specializing in serving military and veteran families with comprehensive financial advice. Each MFAA advisor has military experience as a veteran or military spouse themselves, so they understand intimately military life and combine that with their deep technical expertise for the planning needs of military finances. To learn more about MFAA, go to militaryfinancialadvisors.org. Welcome back to the Military Financial Planner Podcast. I'm thrilled to welcome Arcelia to our podcast today. He told me that this has been something he's been looking forward to as a listener to come back on. This has been a recent theme of people who have been a part of the journey now to come and share your journey. I know that this is going to be an interesting one. We have had a lot of firm owners on the podcast, so I'm really excited to hear Arcelia's story, especially since he went a different route and what that has like. So thank you for coming on. Thank you for being willing to share your story.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah. So let's go back, right? You've spent a long time in the Navy and then decided to get out and become a financial planner. How did you know you're interested in finances? What was that like? I know at one point you were even doing some Financial Peace University. So it sounds like this has been a part of your journey for a while. What was that evolution like as a sailor in the Navy?
A lot of people in military, whenever they get out, they tend to kind of do what they've always done. And certainly that opportunity was available to me. You know, I was a healthcare administrator in the Navy, and it's, you know, fairly easy to roll out and, you know, continue to do that either on the civilian side or, you know, stay within the government system. But the financial planning piece of it came out of a necessity to get my own finances in order. Probably about 10 or 12 years ago, you know, my wife is also a Navy retiree. So we were making, you know, decent money, but we felt as though we weren't making any progress with our money. And so we needed some different answers. And we had gone through some different kinds of quote unquote financial advisors. But there was no real advice. It was only, you know, put your money in this type of investment and then we'll maybe meet once a year. But I'm not really going to give you any sound advice outside of that. And so, you know, we noticed that we weren't making any traction. And so we decided to do something different. And, you know, one day I used to have a, you know, pretty long commute when I was in D.C. And I stumbled upon a famous financial guru known as Dave Ramsey.
Yeah.
And I kind of went down that rabbit hole. And, we discovered a Financial Peace University program. And, you know, applied a lot of those principles and, you know, got our own, you know, finances on track using a lot of the stuff that they teach in that program. And from there, started to, you know, utilize the material. We would do, you know, sessions of Financial Peace started out in our basement, you know, of our house, with neighbors and friends. Yeah. And then, we took it to our church and, you know, we did it for a few years at our church. Lots of success and, just kind of adopted a lot of those principles and, you know, just got ourselves on a good path to, wealth creation and also just changing our, how we viewed money. You know, what is the purpose of money? And the way we kind of looked at it, it really wasn't about us anymore. It was about the generations that come after us and who we can impact. Mm. And so my journey to financial planning came through that. And then as we, you know, moved to our next duty station, it was getting close to, hey, you need to be thinking about what you want to do next. And I remember I was having this conversation with my wife. And she says, well, what would you do for free?
You know, that's a good question.
Because at this point, we were on a good financial trajectory. And, you know, truth be told, you know, unless we really needed to, we really didn't have to do much to make ends meet after, you know, post-military. And so she said, well, what would you do for free? And I was like, well, I kind of want to keep on doing what I'm doing. I really like, you know, talking to people about finances and you know, getting them to think a little bit differently about how they approach money.
Yeah.
And so at that point I took, you know, the movie The Matrix, right?
Yes, of course.
Okay. And I took the red pill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you didn't look back at that point in time?
No, I didn't. And so I just started trying to absorb as much information as I could. And so I actually found FPA.
Okay, wow.
The Financial Planning Association, and I looked them up online. And so at the time we were in San Antonio, Texas, and this is a shout out to the FPA down in San Antonio. I actually, you know, I looked them up on the internet, and I saw, you know, they had some numbers on there, and I was like, well, shoot, I'm just gonna cold call the president of FPA.
There you go.
And so I did. And he immediately reached out to me and he said, hey, let's go grab a coffee. And so I met him and he invited me to an FPA meeting. And so I went there kind of not knowing really anything about, you know, how to start anything like that. And I met a lot of good people.
Yeah.
And, you know, they asked me kind of what my timeline was and kind of encouraged me to go ahead and, you know, start doing the whole education process. And so that's how I got into the, you know, American College and started doing the CFP, CHFC, you know, program.
Yeah.
And kind of went from there. Yeah.
So how many years out were you from retirement when you called the FPA president?
It was 2018. 2018, and I've retired in 2022, so about 4 years out.
Okay, so wow, you just happened to stumble upon it at really, in some ways, the ideal window in that 3 to 5-ish years before separation to really start getting it.
Right.
Why did you know? How did you remember to step on reach out to the FPA specifically?
Well, it wasn't. So it was this. You Google, and you kind of narrow it down, and be like, well, this looks like it might be kind of what I'm looking for. And you just start calling a lot of people. I did a lot of cold calls. I think I even cold called you.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah. I
wow.
Yeah.
So your prior experiences with financial advisors had sort of left there's something missing here, but at the same time, it wasn't so horrible that you're like, these industries, a whole bunch of crooks.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to become the person that I did not have.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a theme that comes up a lot.
Yeah, it was something that I was looking for, and I was like, "Well, if I can't find it, I'm going to create it or find a group of like-minded people who want to do the same thing."
Yeah,
and so that's when I stumbled upon FPA.
Well, as far as randomly kind of stumbling your way there, you hit upon a lot of themes that other guests have, which is a personal discovery, helping others, realizing how much you liked helping others on that journey through the Financial Peace University. And then finding what real financial planning is through people who are doing it, like in the FPA, and then ultimately the education program.
Right.
It's a better journey than most. So you're starting down the road. You're enrolled in the American College. As somebody who had never had any experience at that level before, what were some of the things that surprised you going through the CFP program? What are the things that were easy as well? So things that surprised you, things that were easy.
It was not easy.
Okay.
Because it was a tremendous learning curve. Because like I said, I came from a healthcare policy background. So the policy piece on, you know, all the legislation and things like that.
Yeah.
Check. No problem. You know, but when you start diving down into, you know, the different types of, I mean, I think the insurance book alone in the CFP program, at least for American College, is like super thick.
Oh, yeah.
Along with, you know, the retirement planning piece, right? So when I'm thinking retirement planning prior to going through this program, I'm thinking of, you know, 401k. I didn't even think I knew what a 403b was at the time, but 401k, Roth IRA, IRA. Now we're talking about, yeah, you know, safe harbor rules and all these other, I'm like, what is this? And then even like the, you know, the tax portion. And then also, like I was saying before, the insurance portion. I mean, I knew whole life term, you know, then I'm learning terms like universal variable life or, you know, non-qualified annuities. And I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
So it was a steep learning curve. And I put a lot of, I guess, extra time in versus somebody who might have kind of come from the industry and doing the program. But, you know, I was in it to win it, so it didn't bother me at all.
Yeah, you knew the motivation behind it. Now, since it's such a steep learning curve, and that was certainly the case for me. I mean, I'll never forget like going through that insurance class for the first time. I'm like, what is all this stuff? I mean, there were some chapters that I had to read at least 5 or 6 times just to like start to understand it without a frame of reference. But of course, right, you persevered, you got through it. What were some additional things that you did? Because you're still active duty at the time, right? How are you balancing learning material for the career while at the same time studying for ultimately what it was, the exam itself?
So with the, with the CHFC exams, you know, you take an exam right after each particular topic. You know what I mean? So it was that.
Right. Yeah.
In that aspect, I mean, I put in a lot of work. So it was mostly, you know, early morning before the kids got up. And then, you know, maybe on my lunch break, I would maybe get 30 minutes to kind of review some material. And then basically, you know, get home, you know, do all the things I needed to do for the household. And then when the kids went to sleep, boom, I'm there again, you know, studying for a couple hours. And I probably, you know, I never, you know, this is going to vary from person to person, but I really never took a break. So it was like 6-7 days a week, you know, nonstop. I was probably doing 3 to 4 hours a day just to try to, you know, absorb as much material as I can. I don't know if that's the right answer or the wrong answer, but that's just my journey and how I did it. But
you're an all or nothing kind of guy, huh?
You're right.
Yeah. So were you doing any additional study resources outside of the American College program?
Yeah. So I did the FPA externship. So since I had that connection to FPA now, I was on their website all the time. And so right around the time of the pandemic, I was still in my program, and we were actually transitioning from San Antonio back here to the Hampton Roads area. And because a lot of the externship or internships that, you know, people were doing kind of right out of college or whatever were canceled because of the pandemic, FPA had this awesome idea to do an externship. And so I did the externship in the summer of 2021. So I think it was actually the second iteration of that externship.
Yeah, the second year that they did that virtual part. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was a huge boost because I actually got to see, and shout out to, I guess, Hannah Moore, who facilitated that program. It was a very eye-opening, this is how, at least how she did it in her firm, how you do financial planning.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you're familiar with that program, you know, I recommend it to, you know, anybody I come across as a supplement to all the other stuff, kind of just to put it all together. That was a tremendous boost because you got actual scenarios, you actually had homework that you had to do. And then you can get as deep as you want to with you know, the work, right? So you can, you know, I was, you know, kind of doing extra work and extra research. And then there was also an opportunity where I could get certified in e-money, which was great when I started looking for, you know, various positions outside of the Navy. So to have that, hey, I've actually know what e-money is and, you know, how it works, at least to some degree, that was a big boost as well.
Yeah. Hannah Moore and everyone who worked on the externship over the past several years has been just tremendous. We owe them a debt of gratitude as far as what they've done to boost the profession. I think the other cool thing is I was actually just talking to her at a conference I was at a couple of weeks ago about, you know, this idea of it surprised them in the beginning how many career changers just like you and other guests on this podcast came into that program. Whereas when they originally did it, it was meant to be, like you said, a college internship replacement when the pandemic shut everything down. And instead, you know, roughly more than 40% of people coming through it were career changers or people who were after a career break or something like that getting into it. And like you said, the beauty is you get to see in practice, like so many of them are recorded client meetings that you get to watch a planner walking through a real life client through other than role play and homework, right? It's tangible, it's application, it's taking what is otherwise this book knowledge and here's how you start to use it. So what were some of the things that, especially in your homework piece of that, that helped translate book knowledge into application? Anything stand out to you?
Well, the big thing for me was the behavioral finance part, you know, the big thing that I picked up on, and you know, book knowledge is book knowledge, but it's only book knowledge.
Yeah.
My big thing is how people react in different situations. What are their facial expressions? How do they move in the room? What are their eyes telling me? What is their body positioning telling me? You know, there's only so much. Sure, I can tell you what a Roth IRA is and the benefits of that. But, you know, when you squirm in your chair or look to your spouse, you know, and there's something there that might not be quite right, you know, to be able to pick up on those types of things. That was one of the things that I really got out of it was, you know, not only, you know, how to ask questions, but then get the response from that question and then what to ask next.
Yeah.
Because everybody's going to be different, right? And you have to be prepared. You kind of have to have a toolbox to be able to understand and then prepare for what's coming next. And I think that program was really good because you got to see the interactions. And that was, for me, that was the biggest takeaway was being able to see the actual interactions between the client and the planner.
Yeah. So you would strongly recommend it to anybody who wants to break into this profession then?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. So you did it in the summer of 2021. Where were you at in your CFP studies at that point in time?
So at that point in time, I had just finished up all of the CFP. So I had done the CHFC. I completed all the classes. I had done the final case study and everything. And so I had finished. So it was actually perfect timing because I had just finished up all of the material, and now it was more so now applying it to an actual, you know, in this particular instance, it was a couple and how they wanted to retire. So it was good. It was kind of right. Perfect time.
But I was also asking that question because now you have some time to do both, right? Imagine trying to work a full-time job, take care of your family responsibilities, do the academics and externship. That I've heard from some people that that's a heavy burden. So if you can time it up or at least take a break in your studies, if you're going through that in the summer timeframe. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So for those who are looking at it, you can go back and listen to our previous episode with Hannah Moore. You can also learn more about that. We'll have info on the show notes about the FPA externship application is coming up here. And also for firm owners who are listening, right, you can also use this as a training opportunity for new hires. Hannah also has another program called Amplified Core Planning, which extends this even further. We talked about that with her back in our prior episode. All right, back to your journey, Arcelia, because you're in this stage, you're approaching retirement, you've gone through the academics. When were you planning to sit for the CFP exam, and what did your study program look like for that?
Okay, so I have an interesting journey about my CFP. So I finished up the CHFC program in the summer of 2021. And, you know, ideally, it's like, okay, this information is fresh in my brain. I'm going to sit for the November 2021 CFP exam. And so that's what I did. So I put in the application or registration to sit for the exam, got my date, and then I started to study. But it ultimately ended in me not passing the November 2021 CFP exam. So at the time, I had a lot going on. I really didn't know what to expect from the CFP exam. I mean, you read all the forms, you hear all the, you know, the success stories, and you also hear all the horror stories and what people had to do. And at the time, it was a bit much for me to be transitioning out of the military, doing all the things that's required for that, and then also trying to figure out a study plan or study for the CFP exam. And so it ultimately ended in me not passing on my first attempt. And I don't make any excuses for that. To me, I didn't put in the right or the right amount of time or the quality of study time that it required to pass it. So that's, you know, that's on me, right? Second time around, I did things a little bit different. I invested a little bit more in the actual study program that I used. And at that point, I had a look about what the CFP exam had on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I was a little bit, I had concentrated a whole lot on, you know, a couple of particular areas that I thought, of course, that's going to be on there. And, you know, when I got to the exam, it wasn't. And I was like, what in the world? This is not what I was expecting. And so, you know, the second time around, you know, now I'm, you know, working at a firm. The actual firm owner encouraged me. He said, you know what? Don't take it right away. He said, take it after you've been working with me for a little while.
Yeah.
Right. And so I took the exam again in this past March. So actually a few weeks ago, and did pass.
Congrats. That's awesome.
Thank you. But the way that was different was, one, I invested in a better quality of prep program. So I encourage anybody to invest in a good prep program, but also understand how you study. And then whatever your study plan is, stick to your plan. So the good thing about the program that I use, I could design the plan around, one, how I studied, and then two, the time that I had, because I'm still a dad of two, you know, young daughters, husband, all those things, right?
Yeah.
And so you have to understand how you study and then what actual time you do have available. So I designed the plan, and I didn't study on weekends because those times are precious to me, right? And so I just knew how I needed to do it. And I stuck to my plan, and I answered a ton of questions in the process.
Yeah, but also I like what you said there, because you now had some actual planning experience to ground the answers in, rather than just the theory or the book knowledge. I heard that as well, and that was my experience, where when you'd seen a few things, it also helps to understand the intent of the exam writers, because, you know, if a very narrow focus of some of these questions, it's like, what are they really asking, right? They're asking you to think like a planner and go through the seven steps of the process. And having done that with real life clients, right, it helps sometimes to read through the exam types of questions. So I'm glad to hear that your study plan worked for you the second time around. And that's also great encouragement, right? You're not the first guest, nor will you be the last, who didn't pass on the first attempt. And that's okay, right? That's the ability to take what you've learned from the first or couple attempts and come back and approach it better. So now, you mentioned that you got hired by a firm. So let's back up a little bit, though. So you're still in this career transition. Let's go back to maybe like summer 2021. You're going through the externship. Where are you at that point in time on thinking about what comes next?
So it was funny, because I always joke. I say, I think I peaked early, because I finished all this education, and I'm like, well, I got to do something with this, right? So I said, I thought I needed to start looking for a job. But again, now I'm, you know, a year and a half out from actual retirement. So I'll back you up to when I was in San Antonio. So I kind of alluded to this earlier, how I was kind of just cold calling people. So
yeah.
I actually was listening to a podcast I can't remember her name, but she does the Mill Money podcast.
Lacey Langford.
That's it. Lacey Langford. And I was listening to, because I listened to all these different podcasts. She was one of the ones that I did listen to because I thought it had a lot of great information. And she mentioned the MFAA or the Military Financial Advisors.
Yes.
And so, you know, when I hear things, I immediately, you know, go look it up. You know, let me do some research on that. And I think I called, or I emailed, I think, Paul Allen.
Yeah.
Because he was in the area that I was going to be in whenever I transferred or whenever I PCS'd. And I called him and, you know, immediately he reached back out and said, well, let's do a Zoom. We're in the middle of the pandemic. And so I'm like, okay. And so I Zoomed with them. And then I think Sean was there. And I believe Izzy was also there on the Zoom. And we, you know, chatted for about a good 45 minutes to an hour. And then he said, whenever you get down to, you know, Hampton Roads, you know, look me up and join the FPA in Hampton Roads.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of what I did. And so when I got to Hampton Roads, I started just reaching out to people, various, you know, firm owners. I met one firm owner in the area, and she invited me to the NAPFA study group. And so at the time, we were doing that on Zoom. And so that led into, you know, meeting other planners in the area, which ultimately led to the position that I'm in now.
So you took a chance, right? You just did some networking and leveraged resources. I'm so glad that MFA was a help in that journey. That's our goal, right? Pay it forward, lift up the next group of career transitioners. So what were the insights that you got from some of those uncomfortable, cold outreaches, right? What are some of the things that you learned and advice that you would share with our listeners related to that?
I would say don't be afraid to do it. There's a lot of people, and I experienced this personally. A lot of the planners, especially obviously the ones that I dealt with, were very open and ready to pour into you knowledge and just to get you in the door or just get you around the right people. And I was truly appreciative of that because, you know, you don't want to be really passionate about something and then you've got somebody who's actually in the business pour cold water on that fact, on that passion. You know what I mean?
Yes,
and I did not experience that. Probably I would say 90% of the people that I did reach out to, either email me, call me, you know, call me back and were more than happy to talk to me. You know, it could have been maybe like 10, 15 minutes, but it was their time and they were willing to give it. And so I did notice that about this particular community is that everybody's, for the most part, is willing to share their time to grow the industry.
And that surprised you?
It did, because, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And if you're not used to doing that, it could be kind of intimidating at first. But once you kind of get going and you're like, this is going to be your encore career.
Yeah.
Either you're going to do it or you're not going to do it. And so my whole point was, you know what? I don't have a plan B.
All in. Yeah.
I'm all in, you know?
Yeah.
And so that was my experience.
So when you're thinking about what comes next, were you thinking, I would love to get a job at a planning firm rather than kind of launch your own thing? How did you narrow that path down?
So I didn't necessarily want to launch my own thing just because, yeah, I know about planning, but I don't know about running a business. And I think that they're two different things. They go together, but one is completely different than the other.
Yeah.
And so I didn't think I was ready for that part of it. And even like a planning job. So to tell you a quick story, my first opportunity wasn't actually at a firm. I had linked up with a program that specifically targeted Black and Latino advisors or upcoming advisors, you know, people transitioning into the community either from college or they're a career changer. And they had a lot of, you know, different opportunities that you could sign up for. So I was, you know, actually looking, you know, through them. And then I actually did a career fair through the CFP board. Yeah. And I actually linked up with a tech company that did financial planning, but they did it for employees of companies that hired them. So it was like an employee benefit program.
Yeah.
Right. And so that was actually, and I had linked up with them probably 8 months or so before I was about to retire. Yeah. And actually went through the interview process and actually got a offer letter. And so I was actually going to start and do it that way. I wasn't doing it as a firm. And my whole thing at that point was I didn't really want to go into the office. I wanted to be remote because I had commuted for 25 years. I didn't want to go back to get in my car and spending 3 hours in there every day.
Yes.
And so that was where I kind of drew the line. And I said, you know, I wanted to do fee only, or, you know, and I want to work from home. And so that gave me the opportunity to do that. And so when I got quote unquote hired by this firm or got the offer letter, I was set, right? I got the offer letter probably around April, May timeframe. I was going on terminal leave in June, and I was actually supposed to start in July. They had sent me, all the paperwork, and I was going to have stock options and all this stuff. So everything was looking good. And I went through my retirement in June, retirement ceremony, and then the whole family was going on a cruise. And I remember a few days before the cruise, I got a call from the director of the financial planning place. And they said, hey, I got bad news.
Uh-oh.
What do you mean? we're doing a hiring freeze because of the possible recession. And so we're not going to be able to bring you on in July like we thought. And, you know, I was a little taken back probably about the first. About a day or so, I was kind of bummed.
Oh yeah,
you know. But then my wife was like, "So this is an opportunity. Don't look at it as a setback. Look at it as an opportunity." He said, "You now have the opportunity to take the whole summer off, spend it with us." Because my wife's a professor, you know. She's got the summer off. The kids are off, and so I just kind of had to flip that. You know, don't look at it as a setback. Look at it as a yep. And so, and it was. Essentially the best thing that I ever did. And so I got a chance to take, terminal leave for, 3 months. We traveled, we went on our cruise. I had a great time. Didn't think anything about work at all. And it was a great reset. And so, then fast forward probably to around end of July, first part of August, one of the, firm owners from the NAPFA HR group had sent out, "Hey, we're doing our quarterly, meeting. Is it, who's coming?" So I replied back to him like, "Oh yeah, I'll be there." He says, "Hey, you found a job yet?" And I said, "Well, just so happens, ... And he was like, "Well, I'm looking for an assistant. Would you be okay with that?" And I say, "Well, let's talk." And so we met for coffee, and he was like, "When do you want to start?" And I said, "Well, not until after my kids go back to school." He's like, "Well, good, because I don't have anything ready yet." So we met, hashed it out, and then that's currently where I'm working now.
So was that really just a right place, right time? How did that work?
So yes, it is a right place in the right time, but it wouldn't have happened had I not put myself out there and network.
Yeah.
Right. And so networking early, networking often. I got a neighbor of mine across the street, and I said, "Look," I said, "network to as many people as you can, because it might not be the person that you contact. It might be the person that you contact's associate or their friend or their contact that, that's where you get the, connection." So, you kind of spread your wings and you see what's out there, but you can't do that unless you put yourself out there and go network.
Mm, wow.
So that's how that happened.
Now, just to give some context for the audience, right? How many different jobs over the course of that career transition had you actually applied for or gone into the first step of whatever the application process would look like, just for context?
One.
Okay.
One. And so,
just that one.
Yeah, just that one. So the first job that when I made the connection on the CFP board, that was the only one that I had actually talked with. I mean, when we started talking, we just kind of started talking for the entire session. And, you know, I got their information, they got my information, and we just continued the conversation. So it wasn't like I applied to, you know, five different places and all this other stuff. It was just, you know, that opportunity became available. It was something that I was interested in. And so I went with that one. It didn't turn out to be the, you know, the ultimate, you know, job or the job that I went with, but it did lead me down the road to where I'm at right now.
Yeah. Now, because one of the things you said, you wanted to stay in your area or work virtually, right? You weren't planning to move. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to back up just a little bit because you said something earlier and you and your wife's financial position had put you in a place to have options, at least flexibility, not having to absolutely take the first job that came along or the job that made you move or the job that had to have X salary. How much did your own financial planning set you up for success in giving you options and flexibility to take that time off, to have a mental space, a financial space to pick what ultimately landed to be a great place?
Yeah. So that was a big part of it, right? So we actually designed it that way. Before we knew we were getting out, you know, I worked with a lot of wounded warriors. And when I was the NOIC down in San Antonio, and a common theme was, you know, service member gets sick, the family has to drop everything and come and support that service member while they're going through whatever treatment, whether that be they were in a car accident or they got cancer or whatever. And a lot of my time was spent trying to get grants and other money so the family could actually support themselves. So whenever something like that happens, yeah, and you have to leave your job, and oh, by the way, that job is the one that supports your family, that could be a huge financial strain, right? And so, you know, in my planning mind, I'm always thinking about, you know, well, what's the worst that could happen? And so the way we designed it was we were going to essentially live off of whatever we made through either pension or VA, you know?
Yeah.
And whatever else that comes in is more or less kind of gravy. We can kind of do what we want to do with it. And so there was no real pressure to take the first thing that came up or do something that you didn't want to do. I mean, in the military, you know, you're always subject to going wherever the military tells you to go. And whether that is your dream position or it's, well, I'm doing it because it's going to get me to the next rank, that type of thing. Well, you know, neither one of us wanted to be in that position to where we were working just to get to, you know, the next level or whatever. We wanted to be doing something that we, when we got up in the morning, it was something that we actually wanted to be doing. And so planning our own financial situation, doing a little bit of due diligence allowed for that possibility. So she's working in her passion. I'm working in mine. And it all turned out well.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate just the transparency with which you've shared your journey here today. And kind of for the last subject, let's talk about what your kind of role is and what you've been learning and doing. How well did the military experiences prepare you for this career, especially in this role in your firm? How well, what things surprised you as a part of that, actually working with clients?
I think the military trained me well because in this business, it's all about the relationships. Mm. And so my previous jobs in healthcare, you know, working with policy, a lot of it's, you know, convincing people to do, you know, X, Y, and Z when they might not necessarily want to do that or they don't see, you know, what you're seeing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I thought that, you know, my time in the military, especially on the relationship side, you know, taking care of sailors, I think that that was crucial in, you know, the success as it's played out so far in my early career as a financial planner. What was the second part of that question?
What surprised you in this first role, like working with clients, doing kind of that financial advisor grunt work almost?
Yeah. So when I first came on board, you know, my role wasn't to do financial planning. It was to observe the financial planners doing financial planning. So I remember my first week on the job, you know, firm owner called me and says, what you doing tomorrow at ... whatever o'clock it was. I was like, I'm doing whatever you tell me to do. And so he's like, meet me at this address. And we're doing an in-home visit with, you know, a client, right? And he said, I said, what do you want me to do? He's like, just sit there. You don't have to say anything, just sit there. And so, you know, we went and I got to observe, right? So the first few encounters that I actually had, you know, with clients was just observing, you know, you know, the questions that were being asked, learning, you know, because I mean, you don't want to, I'm smart enough to understand that I don't know everything. And I try to be humble about that. You know, you don't want to, you know, because you're dealing with somebody's livelihood, their money, you know, these situations are going to impact them for years and years to come. And not only them, it's going to impact, you know, future generations that, you know, that they want to impact. And so I take it very seriously. So I'm not going to just come out and say, you know, you need to do ... No, not if I don't know your situation. And so the first few encounters were me just sitting there, and then it got up to, okay, now I want you to help me build, you know, this plan. And then I remember one day, we got a request in to do a financial plan, and he called me up and he said, you're taking lead on this one.
Oh yeah.
Oh, okay. You know? So, you know, so because it was, you know, first, you know, right seat, left seat, and then I moved seats to the lead seat.
Yep.
You know, and so it was a good transition, you know, going from just listening to, you know, just taking notes to actually doing plans to now I'm leading my own client meetings and I'm bringing in my own clients and things like that. So it's been a fun transition. Sometimes you kind of have to sit back and just reflect on where you came from and to appreciate kind of where you are right now.
Yeah.
And so I'm enjoying the journey. This continuous learning process.
Is it better than you hoped for?
You know what? It is. And not just because of the planning piece, it's just because one of the things that I didn't expect to learn when I started is now I'm learning the business side of it, right? So I didn't know what it was like to run a small business. And now, because it is a small business, you're getting in on, you know, these are the things that keep us in business. You know, these are the expenses. These are the different compliance rules. You know, this is the meetings that we have to have. So you're learning what it takes to actually have a small business and sustain one. So that's the part of the business that I wasn't expecting to learn. You know, had I had gone work for the tech company, you know, I would have never, you know, experienced that side of the business. And it is, you know, twofold. You have to be able to run a business to stay in business.
Yeah. So what would you tell yourself 1, 2, 3 years ago? What would the advice that you would give?
I would say, don't compromise your values. Don't compromise what you truly want to do. If you want to serve clients in the way that I serve clients, you know, don't go work at some other firm where you're not comfortable doing that. But I would also say, you know, get out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Get out of your comfort zone. If this is what you want to do and you've never done it before, the only way it's going to get done is if you make it happen. So get out of your comfort zone and go do it.
Yeah.
You know, don't make excuses. So that's what I would tell myself 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah. So you have done a lot of networking through the FPA and the NAPFA. So those are great ways to do it. You also mentioned cold outreach, cold calling and networking on LinkedIn. And I feel like that's come up enough on this podcast. I can echo that heartily. So thank you so much, Arcelia, for sharing your journey, for being just such a great guest here to talk about what it looks like on the other side, especially someone who has followed the evolution of this podcast too. So really appreciate that.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, listeners, until next time.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Military to Financial Planner podcast. Although their day jobs involve giving financial advice, this podcast is for informational purposes only and was not intended to be legal or investment advice. If you liked what you heard, make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. If you know someone else who would benefit from this information, please share it with them. We look forward to having you back next time, where we will continue this journey together.